Welcome to the N1 Podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Five for Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson. Again, not coming to you from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub, but coming to you from my home office as we are still on quarantine. Today, I have such a special guest and so special to my heart. Joey Malamug is here. He is the manager of recruiting at ScanSource. And two things. First, ScanSource has always been such an amazing partner to us at the Clemson MBA program and Clemson in general in terms of support in so many ways. And Joey and I met a few years ago, and he has come to so many events, so many recruiting events, has helped so many of our students get some great opportunities within ScanSource. And he's just one of the greatest people you'll ever meet in your life. So Joey, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's definitely different doing this, you know, not in person, but we're rolling along with it, right?
We're trying. And I just want to tell everybody, so this is, it's not funny, but it's funny to me because many of you know I'm a hugger, right? And so huggers are having really difficult times right now with not being able to see people and hug their friends. And about 4 weeks ago, when this all started, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I am at the grocery store and I'm trying, you know, I have my strategy of how I'm going to get in and out really quickly and not touch anything. And I turn the corner and I see Joey and I make eye contact with Joey and I just melt into a puddle and basically start crying in the middle of the aisle at Publix, because I was just so happy. It had been after the first week, I think, of quarantine, and I was so happy to see you. And then I had this moment of, oh my gosh, I can't hug my friend.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting because that same weekend, I actually ended up running into a coworker of mine at a different grocery store. Thinking of having a normal conversation, but then also thinking, okay, making sure how far am I away from that person? And, you know, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. But it was also funny that I ran into you at the grocery store, because I feel like it was, I'm like, how did she recognize who I was? I mean, I had my beanie on. I just felt like I had been in the house all week. And I think it was like after the first or second week of the full on quarantine. And I, you know, was desperately wanting to just leave and get out the house. So the grocery store, I needed to get some things anyway. And I just threw something on, I think it was. And it was just funny that I ran into you and we did have that moment of like, do we not?
You probably didn't want to hug me anyway when you talk about just throwing stuff on. I think I had just run and I looked like I don't know how you recognized me. I probably look like a crazy person.
And the longer that we are in this whole quarantine situation, I mean, I haven't had a haircut in, well over, I think it's a month now. And I usually keep my hair pretty short and now it's just getting long. So it's getting to that point where it's almost becoming unmanageable. So it'll be lots of moments with my beanie.
I think we're all, you know, everybody's going to be in that same boat, right? That when we all finally emerge, what right. are we going to look like? And P.S. are our clothes going to fit? Because listen, I have not been wearing, obviously, my traditional work clothes. And I have also been taking advantage of the fact that for some reason, quarantine makes me want to eat ice cream and pretzels and all the things. And I can't stop.
Agreed. Ice cream has been my go-to. I think it was in the beginning, it was ice cream every night. And I was like, okay, let's put some control on that. So now I'm like, have ice cream on the weekends. And it is making me want to eat everything. I mean, I feel like it's when bears go and hibernate during the winter, I feel like we are in forced hibernation. And there's just no telling what's going to happen when we come out of this forced hibernation, like what I'm going to look like. I'm just going to come out a whole new person. and it's definitely interesting. But yeah, food, I naturally like to cook to begin with, but now I'm starting to do like baking. And, you know, normally when, you know, if I wanted to bake some cookies, I could eat a couple and then bring the rest to work and share them amongst friends and coworkers. And now I'm finding that I'm eating the whole thing on my own. Like when it's gone because I've eaten it all. So, but yeah, things to find your time. And unfortunately, you know, eating for recreation is just one of those things.
And you will get no judgment from me because I'm right. That is my sport too right now. So, I'm just trying to offset it a little bit. I'm trying to force myself to keep running, but I definitely am not offsetting it enough for the amount of ice cream that I'm eating on a daily basis.
Yeah, same. I've been trying to, you know, sitting at a desk and chair and a computer for, you know, extended periods of time. It's occurred to me that I think very early on in this, I said to myself, I think I've been sitting in the same spot for, and not even realize that you spent, you know, extended hours in the same spot. So I've tried to make a conscious effort to go outside, get some fresh air for one, and get a change of scenery, and try to get some type of physical exercise, whether it be a long extended walk or, dare I say, try to get a run in, even though that's not my thing. But, you know, try to get a light jog just to kind of get the heart rate up and the blood pumping a little bit, you know. So I'm not.
I don't know about you, but I know in my neighborhood, I have seen more people attempting to run and going on walks, which I guess has been a positive outcome of all of this. Is that people are enjoying the weather and taking more time to be outside, which is really good. But it is every time I look outside, I'm like, wow, you know, you get to see your neighbors who you typically don't see because, you know, we spend so much of our time at work. So.
Oh, absolutely. And then you also sitting, so I'm positioned right next to my kitchen window. So, and it has a frontline view to the street. So it's also amazing how many times the same person will, because it's clearly they're doing loops around the neighborhood. So it's interesting to see the same person either walking for long periods of time and then thinking, they're still walking, or, you know, maybe they walked a lap and then went back home and then walked another lap. I don't know, but it's funny to see people that you normally wouldn't necessarily see out and about just enjoying the weather, like you said.
Yeah. So I want to dive a little bit into kind of how work has changed for you. Obviously, being in recruiting, you are in front of people a lot, and you're in and out of the office, going to meet with people, collaborating with different schools. So how has your world of work really changed over the past few weeks?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel like this situation has definitely challenged how not just me in general and the job that I do, but has challenged our entire organization at SCAN. So it's really how we work. And, you know, we have a good sizable workforce that's already working remote. So I imagine their transition into this is a little bit easier. But for the majority of our population at SCAN, most of it was always done in-house and on-site. So now we've had this large-scale experiment about working from home or working remotely or virtual, however which way you want to describe it. And it's definitely challenged. And I think, you know, the feedback that we've received from a lot of our teams and different departments has all been very positive. You know, it's actually kind of good to know that we can do a lot of the things that we do from home or remotely. For the longest time, you know, I think it's great to be able to provide our employees with the added benefit of having a work from home day. You know, when we implemented it, I'd probably say almost a year ago now. So we've had the opportunity to provide our opportunities with the ability to do it. Now that we're all forced to do it, I was never really the one to actually take full advantage of that. So I was always from the mindset of, no, I mean, all my stuff is in the office. It's at my desk. It's at my cube. It's in the files. And I was very I just never took full advantage of it. And now that I'm in a position where, you know, it's all kind of mandated, it's definitely challenged me to think about how I approach things differently. So, you know, one of those things could be something as simple as printing things out. You take it for granted that you have 24, you know, how many hours of access to a printer or a scanner, and if you need it at a fax machine, but you take those things for granted when you get done typing up some notes off of a conversation or an interview, and you go in and start to push print and realize, oh, wait, I'm going to have to put this down on a list of things to print for when I do get the opportunity to go back. So, or finding alternatives to that paper trail. So is there, you know, can I use an electronic e-document or, you know, a DocuSign document for things that we do need to catch our signatures on, like an offer letter. So things like that come up that you normally would take for granted by working in the office, I think we've had to all change and adapt to, regardless of position. And then when you think about the recruitment side of things, you know, it's funny because I'm an introverted extrovert. I know I can turn it on and turn it off fairly easy. And I still like my time, although this has also been challenging me from an introvert's perspective that I need something like outside of just my four walls in my own house. But there is that human interaction that I definitely miss about working in an office or getting to meet students. You know, this unfortunately happens to be during a time when we would normally be out and about and, you know, quote unquote, out in the field talking to students. So it's definitely challenged us to look at different ways as to how we can still extend our reach from a recruitment perspective. I mean, we just held a virtual info session with some students at another university. It was a finance club, and we did an Adobe Connect presentation where we still had the same level of interaction that we would have if we were in an in-person career fair. So finding creative ways to be able to do things like that helps us to still continue to, you know, on my job at least, to continue to fill recs and still keep active talent pools available. You know, in a time like this, it's easy to just say, hey, we're going to pause on everything. And, you know, when we come out of this crisis, you know, it's going to be a whole another different world for a lot of companies and organizations, as well as the recruiting industry in general. I think is going to be in for a nice surprise in what the new normal will look like. And, you know, when jobs and the economy opens back up, that's going to create opportunities for a lot of people, I feel like.
What do you think the new normal of recruiting is going to be? Because again, this was not something that any of us could have predicted, that we would basically be shut down, all forced to work from home and find creative ways to still connect and do our jobs remotely. So I think, like you said, it's given us this whole new perspective of what we're capable of doing when we're not necessarily in the office or in our normal routines. So how do you think the outlook is going to be in terms of the future of recruiting?
Yeah, I think that you're going to find, number one, a lot of companies that didn't have work from home or remote opportunities. I think you'll probably find a lot more organizations probably going to be a little more apt or open to the idea of a remote worker for their organization when maybe before pre-crisis they weren't.
Right.
I think you're going to find a lot of opportunities like that probably come open. Unfortunately, with a lot of organizations also laying off and furloughing employees, or, you know, the unemployment rate kind of being what it is now and skyrocketing, you know, when we come out of the crisis, I think that you're going to find a larger pool of talent that's going to be looking for a lot of jobs. And the good thing is about that is that there will be opportunities available as the economy begins to slowly open back up as well. So whereas people might have lost jobs or furloughed, might have the opportunity to go back to very similar positions that they were pre-crisis. So I definitely think that there's going to be a good talent and people who are wanting to take the opportunity to maybe do something different or you know, do a job change or something completely different than they were doing before, I think they're going to find that there's going to be more opportunities for them to be able to do that as well.
From your perspective, what advice would you have to some of these people who have unfortunately been furloughed? Because now, I mean, from your opinion, is it really the time to be looking? And what do you think in terms of outlook?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the job market is going to bounce back fairly quickly in a post-crisis world. I think that, you know, for those that are currently looking, I mean, there are definitely organizations that are out there that are still hiring. You know, it's just going to probably take some time to find the right organization, the right fit, longer than you probably normally would on, you know, in a normal setting or a normal situation, for sure. You know, in our organization, we are continuing to hire. So industries that are kind of booming right now because of the current situation. So communications or telecommunication industries are definitely going to be looking. And even post-crisis, they're probably going to continue still looking because, again, there's going to be a need for it because people are now going to be a lot more, companies and organizations are going to be a lot more open to remote working and things like that. So when you think about telecommunication industries and how we're, you know, interacting right now through WebEx or Zoom or Microsoft. You know, obviously companies like that are continuing to hire because of the demand for it is there. So there are companies that are hiring. There are companies that are kind of hiring and taking a very slow and cautious approach to how they hire and recruit. That's kind of the stance and approach that we've been taking is, you know, really prioritizing which positions are critical and what can we prioritize first. So that way we're not just protecting our business, but we're also protecting the people that are currently employed too. Because I mean, again, outside of health and safety concerns for our employees, we also want to make sure that our employees are being taken care of as well, not being placed in a situation where we don't want to have to put people, you know, laying off or furloughing. So, you know, taking a very strategic approach to hiring, I think is what a lot of the companies that are currently doing as it stands. So there are companies that are out there that are still hiring, I feel like.
So from a recruitment standpoint, hiring completely remote. So you're interviewing remote, you're onboarding remote. How strange has that been? The fact that you can't physically really see the person, has that been, obviously it's been different for you.
Yeah. So managing the entire candidate life cycle from, you know, high to higher in a virtual setting is definitely new for me. But there is a lot of things that we can do. I mean, whereas we would normally invite candidates on site to do initial interviews with managers, we've been setting up team interviews or phone interviews to be able to take care of that. You know, second interviews usually are an opportunity for the candidates to not just meet again and talk to the manager again, but also an opportunity to meet certain team members. And of course, that normally would happen on site and in the camaraderie and the feel and the culture of the office. And, you know, now we're just having to find creative ways to be able to do that. So being able to have a Cisco WebEx meeting or a Microsoft Teams meeting with multiple people within the same team, you know, there are different ways that you can still try to get that same camaraderie to come across, that same team atmosphere come across during an interview. You know, one of the things though that we definitely don't want to lose because culture is such a big part about ScanSource is how do we then translate our culture virtually? And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we try to that we're trying to make sure that we get. So ensuring that, you know, there's still that family fun, friendly atmosphere that you get when you're talking to a candidate with meeting other members of your team. I think that probably translates the most. So, you know, trying to be a little more conscious of that, I think is kind of the approach that we've been taking. And then as far as sourcing candidates, you know, The class of 2020, I think in all levels of education, I think is definitely having to probably adjust the most. One of our coworkers is currently still, in school, and she's been helping, when working full, in a part-time capacity in one of the departments. So it's interesting to see her transition from being an on-campus student to now being forced to do a lot of work virtually and still maintain the ability to be able to do, ScanSource work in a part-time capacity. So she's having to juggle, and kudos to her, because it's definitely an amazing thing to see, to be able to do the work that she does online, as well as the work that we need her to do, all virtually. So, I think when you think about the level of communication that it needs to, for her to be able to be successful, I think that's one of the things that is a big takeaway for everybody in the organization, is that normally where you probably would only talk to maybe one or two members face-to-face, now we're doing constant FaceTime meetings or meetings where we're doing them virtually. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to and seen more now than if I was to just walk to their cube, down the hall or in another part of the building. So it's definitely interesting to see the level of communication come up. And I think that's something that's been one of the big takeaways from this entire experience, and how we communicate with not just our coworkers, but with students from a recruitment aspect as well.
Absolutely. And I love to hear you specifically mention culture, because when I think of ScanSource, that's the first thing that comes to mind is, how amazing the culture is and the people. And so I think that thankfully we have these types of platforms where you can, although, you can't really see all of you, right? But you can still feel who you're talking to a lot better than maybe just on the phone, right?
Yeah.
So I've noticed that as an opportunity as well, that, even some of our sessions that we've moved to an online capacity, and listen, you know this about me, I love like just doing, not doing the same thing. That sounds so boring, but you get used to kind of doing your job the way that you do it. And I'm just quick to pick up the phone or whatever. And I would never use Zoom or WebEx, and I live on it now. And I love it. I love the fact that we are still able to connect, and we're still able to do remote type meetings. And we had a presentation last week, a couple weeks ago, actually. All the weeks are running together. It's like, what day is it? but we had a presentation where we had 105 students, log in on Zoom. And you wonder, if it was an in-person meeting, would they all have been available to attend? So there are some opportunities, of course.
Absolutely.
Who would have thunk it have come out of all of this? So what have you seen?
I've definitely seen, with communication, it's interesting to see even how our executive team, so we normally do a monthly company meeting that happens on site. And to your point, it's amazing. We normally seeing the amount of people that would come to see the meeting live and in person is one thing. But when you are on a Teams event meeting and you see the number go up, and as a presenter, it's a little bit awkward because you normally see the audience and you can feed off of the energy. So I can only imagine that was probably a little awkward, just talking into a camera and not seeing that. I kind of experienced that when I did that virtual presentation, I'm going through the presentation, you don't see faces, you don't see reactions. And so those are the things that I definitely miss. But, trying to get that same level of interaction, whether it's asking questions or doing a polling question, there's definitely ways to kind of to go around that. But again, getting that large scale of event with multiple people, I think is definitely something that's been interesting. And then going back to the culture piece of it too, health and wellness has always been one of the biggest things at ScanSource. And normally we would have fitness classes that are done throughout, the lunch hours of the work week. And one of the things that, we wanted to make sure that we focused was not just the wellness piece of it, but the mental health of it, especially as we go through this piece. So they've been doing, one of the things that kind of coincides with both the mental as well as the wellness piece of it was we still offer, so one of the classes that we offer is yoga on site on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And obviously we're not able to do that now, but what we've done now is set it up as a virtual yoga session. So they're doing yoga virtually. They are doing Zumba is another one of those things where it's not just about the health aspect, but of course it's the same people that want to do Zumba and yoga, and it builds camaraderie amongst people that may not necessarily get to interact with every single day based off of their team. But we've offered both of those classes to be done remotely, and everybody will join in on a Teams meeting and be able to see each other practice or see each other do, you know, a Zumba move or two. And so it's definitely been interesting to see how people have taken to that. So it's definitely been a good thing. I think it's from a mental state too. I mean, I call one of my coworkers almost regularly, who normally would sit right behind me. So sometimes she'll just be on there, I'll be on there, and we're both steady answering emails. But just the fact that we have the ability to be able to just put somebody up and have that same, not the same, but different human interaction that we normally would get in the office. So I think people are finding different ways to be able to cope. And as an organization, providing our employees with the ability to do things like, you know, virtual fitness classes, or still continue to have, you know, contests, you know, what's the best DIY mask you can make, and things like that. I think those are some of the things that we've been able to kind of do that maybe normally we wouldn't do in an office setting. So just having that same level of communication across, and if not even more, I think has been probably the biggest win for us as an organization, and even in me being able to do our jobs and provide for the people that we are in support of in our organization.
Yeah, that is so amazing to hear, because I think wellness and mental health is so important all the time, but specifically now, being that this, again, was something that nobody could have predicted. And there was a great article that I read in the Harvard Business Review, and the gist of it was that feeling that you have in the pit of your stomach, it is grief, because so many people are kind of grieving their former routines or ability to go here and there and do whatever. So I thought it was a really interesting article in terms of dealing with what's going on and really forcing you to accept and deal with what is happening. So with that being said, how are you doing in terms of you know, working through this new world?
Yeah, no.
Wellness, because wellness, you know.
Right. So for me, again, it's trying to find different ways to occupy time. For me, I know, regardless if I worked a longer day or not, the good thing about leaving an office is that, you know, when I was done, at least I was done. I would come home, and it's completely separate from the office. And when I got home, it was 100% relaxation. And there might be the occasional, I look at my phone and there's an email or answer a text that might come through. That's a little bit different, but it is, I think one of the biggest struggles for me was being able to, in the beginning of this is turning it off. So, yeah. You know, for me, it was, I have it all. My kitchen is set up the way it needs to be for me to be able to do my job. And then, you know, during lunch, I would even look down and be like, oh, it's time to go and eat lunch. And then I get caught up in answering another email and realizing, oh, well, I've just blazed right through lunch. Or at 5:30 when I'm supposed to be done, I found myself shutting down one day. And this is also very odd, walking 10 steps to my right, so like my living room or my den where I just sit on the couch and watch TV, that in itself is kind of strange. It's like my new break room. My living room is my new break room, but I found myself walking 10 steps over and starting to kind of wind down. I saw something on my phone come up, and this is well after the evening had already started, and I saw something on my phone come up, and I'm like, oh, I can probably take care of that. So I walk back over to my workstation. I'm firing everything up. I answer the email. I look at the clock, and I'm like, wow, it's 10 o'clock. Like, did I really need to do that? So for me in the beginning, it was kind of hard to being able to number one, have that division of work and being at home and being present at home when I'm done. So it was definitely an adjustment for me to be able to do that. I think I've gotten better with it as the weeks have now gone by, because now the new challenge is sitting in one spot for extended periods of time. So making sure that I'm getting up on occasion to go and take a break, whether that's walking around the block in my neighborhood, or whether that is taking a lunch break, or shutting everything down and doing everything I can not to come back once everything has been closed out. So I definitely think that there has been some adjustments. I think it's a learning process. I don't think I'll ever be 100% comfortable, because there will always be another challenge that rises up that you just probably didn't think about. From a work perspective, and then, you know, the harder things that I'm still even trying to manage through is, okay, so my weekends. So normally on the weekends, you know, you can go out and just go and do things and do different things, whether that's just running around, running errands, or going to the mall and going shopping, or going even on a hike. You know, those things right now, you just can't do. So when you're stuck in your home Monday through Friday for work, and the majority of that time is work, and then you get to a Friday and or a Saturday and a Sunday, and you're like, it still feels kind of like you're at work, because that's where you spend the majority of your time. So I think that's kind of been the biggest struggle, I think, is on the weekends, because to many, I feel like the days are starting to run together, or the weeks start to run together. So trying to find creative ways. I mean, we talked about, you know, projects around the house, which, you know, whether you want to be involved with, or if you want to do, like painting, you know, the whole interior of your house, or rearranging certain rooms, and, you know, realizing now I need furniture for certain areas, or baking or cooking. So, you know, really taking the time to find things that I like to do around the house to keep myself occupied, to get myself into the mindset of doing something different other than feeling like I'm being in the same spot of work and home, I think has been very important for me. And some days and weekends are better than others, but again, it's an adjustment, right? I think as much as we'd like to say that this is just kind of the situation that we're in, you know, trying to take the time for, you know, mental well-being too, and figuring out things that you probably didn't know about yourself, or pushing yourself in different ways that you didn't think you could do before, I think is, you know, just trying to keep a positive outlook on that, and, you know, staying healthy and well, of course. But again, it's all an adjustment.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I don't think any of us know what day it is, what hour it is, what month it is for that matter. So
from yesterday, I mean,
I know, I'm sure you've seen the meme where it's like the beginning of every day of the week is crossed out and it just says day.
Right.
And that's just, I think we're all in that boat of like, what day is it? Because it does. It's what Saturday and Sunday is no different. You're still here. So, it was even funnier for spring break for my kids, because they were like, enjoy family time for spring break and a break for every, you know, school or whatever. And I was like, well, we can't go anywhere or do anything. So we're just spring break. We'll make it, we'll make it fun here.
Right.
So, but still, it's so good to talk to you. And I just have to say, you know, major kudos to what you guys are doing in terms of still being able to hire and still working with candidates through the process. I know we had a great group of students that before this even happened, you guys had interviewed about doing a special project in the strategy side of things. And I mean, you guys were able to move forward with it. And this group has started working remotely. And I think it's amazing that you've been able to still provide them with this awesome learning experience. And on top of the experience of the work that you're giving them, they're having to adjust to this new online platform of working and staying accountable and everything that we're all learning through this. So I really appreciate you guys for doing that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been an interesting way to onboard people, you know, having them come in to pick up their laptops and then showing them the resources needed to be able to work remotely and then basically sending them off to start working remotely and partnering and doing everything that a hiring manager would normally do in-house over the computer. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have really good resources to be able to make those transitions and, you know, give them the opportunity to continue, you know, their work here at ScanSource. So yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, it's my understanding that all the MBA students that are currently at ScanSource are doing a great job. So, you know, we're definitely excited to have them.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yes, they make us proud. So I'm so glad that they're doing a good job for you guys. So before I let you go, I usually ask some fun questions about Greenville, but instead, I want to ask you, because we're all having to adjust to new things, what is bringing you joy during this time? So I have started making a list because, again, I don't know if this is like a wellness thing or not, but I'm trying to stay in a positive mindset, right? So when I notice things that make me happy during this time, I have a little notes file in my phone that I add it to the list. And it's like simple things like the live music broadcasts on Instagram, like these bands and these musicians just like coming out and performing, or the fact that my dog has not left my side in the last few weeks. So things like that. So fill us in on what joy have you found over this time?
I've always enjoyed cooking, but now I have kind of found a new appreciation to cooking. So I love cookbooks. I not collect them, but I just end up having a whole bunch of cookbooks. And I always go back to tried and true recipes that I know how to do and never really even crack open the recipe book. So now what I've been trying to do is if I'm cooking for myself, I'll try to refer to a recipe that might be in the book and trying to cook more so out of that and just learning and appreciating different cuisines or different types of ingredients that'll make a dish taste a little bit different. So I've kind of refound my appreciation for cooking and now even baking, which is really an odd thing because I'm not by any means like a baker, but starting out slow from things out the box, so it's not anything crazy, baking cookies and then eventually moving and challenging myself in different ways to make things from scratch. And that's kind of one of the goals that I have from coming out of this whole thing is I want to learn how to make a chocolate chip cookie from scratch. And so definitely finding you know, things that I might have done in the past that, you know, I haven't really done recently or don't remember doing. And now having the time to be able to do it, I think has been kind of one of the pleasant surprises of this entire situation. And appreciating my neighborhood, honestly, is another joy that I didn't necessarily think that you kind of take it for granted with, you know, the people that live around you or just kind of, you know, the upkeep of whatever happens. And, you know, my walks and sometimes my light jogs after work have been very enjoyable to just kind of see people out and about or talking to a neighbor and catching up with a neighbor that you haven't really met and you've been in the same house for a long time. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those situations where we're all in the same boat and we all have the same, you know, gripes. And it was just nice to, you know, especially after not maybe even having human interaction, that when I'm putting in my bringing in my garbage can and seeing a neighbor, and you know, you just start having conversation with them, even though you probably wouldn't have done that even a month ago. I think things like that have been kind of enjoyable to just do, and I appreciate those smaller things that you may not necessarily have appreciated before. But those are some of the kind of the joys that I've been finding more so, whether they were planned or not planned. I feel like.
Right. I love that so much. Well, when this is all over, I want to try your chocolate chip cookies.
Oh my gosh.
So no pressure, but start working on that.
I tell you what, Duncan and Betty have been my best friends. So
I love it. Oh, so Joey, good. I love it. Well, listen, I appreciate you so much for taking the time to speak with us, because you know, you give us a lot of hope too in the idea that there are companies out there that are still hiring. There are companies that will onboard remotely. So there are still great opportunities and great organizations like ScanSource that are working really hard right now to protect their employees too. And that's when it goes back to culture, that's what you want to hear. And you should all be so proud. So thank you for joining us on N1. Everybody at home, stay safe, stay well.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.